know what kind of a schus, what mitzvah did she do that she deserves to live on extra. The first thing Mar said, that the schus of Lima HaTaira is greater than the schus of performing other mitzvahs, and it must be that the girl was learning Torah. So then Mar said, but the women are not mukhi the Talmud Torah. Women, the Beit HaLevi points out in his Shubas, that there are two parts to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There's one mitzvah, Lamadatam Osam, Vishmartam Lasosam. We have to learn the dinim of Shabbos in order to know how to observe Shabbos. We have to learn the dinim of Kashrus in order to know how to observe Kashrus. So there, Liman HaTorah is only a Hechshon, it's a Hachana. If you don't learn the dinim, so you won't know how to observe the mitzvah. So that part of Liman HaTorah, the women are just as obligated as the men. The women have to learn all the dinim that are relevant to them. Women go shopping a lot, so they have to know the laws of cheating in business and mekach toys and ainoah and so on. And women have to know the laws of karas hamishpach and shabbos and kashrus and so on and so forth. The women are not obligated in sittas and tefillin and shofar and sukkah, so those dinim they don't have to learn. So that's one mitzvah. Then there's another mitzvah. Elamartem osos b'nechem. You have to learn kol haTorah kulam. You have to learn even those dinim that are not relevant to us. We live in America, so the mitzvahs tasuyas baris are not that relevant, a little bit relevant, because they sell Israeli products in America. But many of the mitzvahs tasuyas baris are not relevant for us. So we, the men, are obligated to learn kol haTorah kulam, even those dinim that are not negiyah to us. There is an independent mitzvah that we have from Liman HaTorah, even if it's not negiyah b'halacha. So that mitzvah the women are potter from. Women are not mukhiyah in Talmud Torah to learn just the Torah that's not going to lead up to Shmiras HaMilu.
The inyan that the women have to learn, is that, are they considered mitzvahs? Are those inyan?
Yeah.
I mean, mitzvahs for the limud also.
Yeah. But that's not really the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's the mitzvah of kashrus, and learning the laws of kashrus is in preparation. It's a hechshon mitzvah. It's a hachana for the mitzvah of kashrus. It's a hachana for the mitzvah of taras hamishpacha. It's not really a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, but they are mitzvah. It's a hechsha mitzvah for the mitzvah of kashrus and the mitzvah of taras hamishpacha. So the Gemara wants to know, why should the women deserve to live on a year or two or three? Because of the schutz, usually we speak the schutz of women at Torah. We assume the Gemara Kiddushin quotes the machlekes Samaran, who deserves more reward? The one who volunteers a mitzvah that he's not mukhayev to do, or the one who does the mitzvah that he is obligated to do. So after a dispute, the Gemara came to the conclusion that Godel HaMitzvah v'yoyz and v'meisheni mitzvah v'yoyz. The one who is obligated to do the mitzvah deserves more reward. So the women are not mitzvah ben Talmud Torah as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. So why should they be so rewarded that even though they deserve the death penalty from the Maimon Bar, they should live on 1 or 2 or 3 years longer? After all, any mitzvah of the earth, it doesn't get that much reward. So the Gemara says, no, you don't have to worry about, you don't have to always think about the schutz of Talmud. There's the schutz of other mitzvahs. The women, the woman davens, the woman does the stock of a chet, and she does other things. So she has schutz for that. Frag the Gemara, but we have this pasuk in Mishlei that draws the contrast between shmiras on mitzvahs and liman HaTorah. Mitzvahs are compared to a little candle, kiner mitzvah. Liman HaTorah is compared to a big torch. What's the difference between a candle and a torch? So the Gemara first says that the candle only lasts, sort of gives illumination for a short period of time, and the torch lasts on for longer. So the Gemara says so too. The reward from a mitzvah is not going to last so long. And the reward for the reward that one deserves of Liman HaTorah, that's like a torch, that should last longer. That's what we mentioned last week. The Rav Chaim Balozhin, they write in Nefesh HaChayim, based on the Gemara in Megillah, that all the religious articles that we use for performing mitzvahs are divided into two categories. You have a talis and a shofar and a sukkah. That's tashmishei mitzvah. So tashmishei mitzvah, bizman mitzvosam, ahuk tzele mitzvosam. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk. The original pasuk is by Sukkot. It says, "Chakas Sukkot Tasa L'Chashivat Yomim L'Hashem." So the pasuk shot in the pasuk is, "You should celebrate the holiday of Sukkot for the duration of 7 days." So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation that the pasuk refers to constructing a Sukkot. Sukkot Tasa L'Chah. You should construct a Sukkot Tasa L'Chashivat Yomim. It should be sturdy enough to last for 7 days. And what should you make this chak from? Yosbuch Hamigdal Hamikveva. From the leftover, psalas garmi yekir. It should be Yidu Likarka, and Tolish and Dovish Enim Kabutum. Tolish Gomiyah. So every word of the Pasuk fits in with this additional level of interpretation. Sukkah Tazuha, except for the word Chak. How can you say the Pasuk means to construct the Sukkah, but it says Chaka Sukkahs? Mara says that Chaka Sukkahs should be interpreted like hyphenated. The Sukkah, which is like the Korban Chagigah. The word Chak, in modern Hebrew, the word Chak means a holiday. We refer to Chak Purim, we refer to Hanukkah as Chag Orim, the holiday of the lights. But the Shulchan Aruch points out that in biblical Hebrew, the Gemara points out, in biblical Hebrew, the word Chag means a yontif on which you bring a Korban Chagigah. So in biblical Hebrew, you wouldn't refer to Hanukkah Purim as a Chag. So why is Sukkot Chag as Sukkot Tatsalcha? So the simple pshat in the pasuk is you should celebrate Sukkot for a duration of 7 days at that season of the year, Biyosbuchan, the Garnach, and the ingathering season. All summer long it doesn't rain, and Eretz Yisrael, the whole Middle East, it doesn't rain. That's the dry season. So they leave the poor out on the fields, and Sukkot is Chag Atzif, you start bringing everything into the house. And that's Baas B'chom Megardach on the Yifet, when it's the season of the year to bring in the food. But the Gemara has this additional level of interpretation that every word in the Pasuk refers to constructing a Sukkah, Tassu, Lemon, Asri, and you should construct the Sukkah with the leftovers, all those Gorn V'yekir. And the word Chag sticks out like a sore thumb. So the Gemara says, no, Chag HaSukkah means that you should construct the Sukkah, which will have the same status as a Korban Chagigah. Kishem Shachal Shem Shamayim Ala Chagigah. Just like Chagigah is a Hukzil and Mitzvah, so it's Hekdesh. Of course it's Chal Shem Shemaim, it's a Korban. Kachal Shemaim ala Sukkah, that the Sukkah is Hukzil and Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, how long is the Sukkah with the Noi Sukkah? How long is it Hukzil and Mitzvah in the Esrik? And the Hadassi, you're not allowed to eat the Esrik, not allowed to smell the Hadassi. How long is it Hukzil and Mitzvah? The Gemara says, for the duration of Sukkah, after the Yontif is over, there's no longer Hukzil and Mitzvah. So from Sukkah we learn out the original Pasuk is by Sukkah. So the Ramban writes, the Sukkah we extended to Esrog, the Gemara says Esrog is Hukzul and Mitzvah, so you're not allowed to eat it, and Hadassah, but Hukzul and Mitzvah, so you're not allowed to smell them. So the Ramban says, everything is Minatari, you learn it all out from the Pasuk by Sukkah. The original Pasuk is Chal Shem Shemayim Ala Sukkah, and all other Tashmishe Mitzvah learned out from there. Ramban holds that a Shul is a Tashmishe Mitzvah. The Shul has the status of Kiddusha, calls man that is designated to daven there. Once all the Jews move away, nobody's going to daven there anymore. So it's no longer a tashmishe mitzvah min haTorah. You can use it for secular purposes. And the Gemara says you have to sell it and be poided, and then you use the money to buy another shul, say for Torah. That's all the Rabban. Rabban says that min haTorah, the shul only has the status of tashmishe mitzvah because the shul is a thing, it's a structure. It's a building that enhances our davening. Not that it enables us to daven, we could daven at home also, but it enables us to daven. We live at Sibur, and it enhances the davening because we're all going to daven in a special occasion, so everybody's going to be mechaven more with less distractions. The Ramban says the original mocker for the institution of Tashmishe Mitzvah, the Bizman Mitzvah, the book to the Mitzvah, is the Pasuk by Chag HaSukkahs, Chal Shem Shemayim Ala Sukkah, and it applies to all Tashmishe Mitzvah, the Shofar. If I have a shofar from last year, or this year I didn't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, it's hasbana lav milsi. It's not hooked to the mitzvah. If I blew shofar with it this Rosh Hashanah, if I designate, I bought an esrog a week before Sukkot and I didn't bench esrog, I didn't use it. Didn't use it as hasbana lav milsi. It doesn't become hasbana. But once you used it, once I blew shofar with it, once I worked it, the talis, the mitzvah of talis is every day. It's not like Sukkot is only for the duration of Sukkot, and after Sukkot is over, there's no longer Chal Shem Shemayim, the Kedushas HaSukkot disappears. A talis is always a good, it's always a Zman Mitzvah. Until I'm wearing the talis so long that it's so worn out, I'm not going to wear it anymore, I'm embarrassed, it's dirty, it's torn, it's all frayed, so I buy a new talis and I want to donate it to the shul, the Gabbai doesn't even want it, the Aniyim don't want it, nobody wants it, so that's a mitzvah, Lach Zman Mitzvah. It's like the shul that everybody moved away. No one's going to daven there anymore.
Can you give the shamans to put
in the shamans?
Yeah.
So some people cut off the chutim, the strings, the tzitzis, and they put in the shamans. So the Gemara says it's not necessary. The Gemara says tashmishe mitzvah nizrakim. After the zman mitzvah is up, you can throw it out in the garbage. They just quote the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rashba and Shabbos has a comment from the Ravid, you shouldn't throw it together with the chicken bones, with the dirty diapers, put it in a separate bag and then throw it in the garbage. So the Gemara says we divide all religious articles into two categories. The Tashmishe mitzvah, Ahuktan the mitzvah, and Mizmana mitzvah, only after the Mizmana mitzvah is up. It's no longer Ahuktan the mitzvah, so that's all based on the Pasuk Chaga Sukkos. The Sukkos, Sukkos, Lachak. And then you have Tashmishe Kedusha, you have Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, that even after the Sefer Torah is so puzzled that it's not even sharp to fix it, or the Tefillin and Mezuzah is so puzzled you can't fix it, you're not allowed to throw it out in the garbage. He took to them and said, it's not because you have Shem Hashem. It doesn't have to have Shem Hashem. I remember once I saw someone left an old Megillus Esther in the Shemus embroidered. So someone else came into shul later and he was laughing. He said, they didn't realize Megillus Esther doesn't have Shem Hashem and you don't have to put it in Shemus. That's a mistake. You don't have to have Shem Hashem. Megillus Esther is from the Kisra Kodesh, from the Tanakh. Shemus is loved after Shem Hashem. It's based on the Pasuk. It says, what did the previous pasuk say? You should destroy the Avodah Zarah, and you should destroy the name of the Avodah Zarah. Then it says, you're not allowed to do any of the above. You're not allowed to be noted seven men on his back. You're not allowed to destroy anything, and you're not allowed to erase Shem Hashem. So the Gemara talks about the Zion Shem Hashem in the seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're not allowed to erase. So the Rambam quotes this in Hilchos Yisrael Torah, that Shem Hashem you're not allowed to erase. But you're not allowed to destroy Noted Seven Men on Mizbech also. All the Yonim that have Kedusha, you're not allowed to destroy. So the Shem is the Lav Davka Davka for Shem Hashem. You have Dibrei Torah also, you're not allowed to throw it out. You have to put it in the Shem. So Rav Chaim Volozhin explains, how did the Tanoim know how to decide what belongs in the category of Tishmish and Kedusha? That even after the Zvana Mitzvah is up, you have to put it in Shemus, you have to treat it with respect. And what is only Tashmishe Mitzvah? That after the Zvana Mitzvah is up, so the Kedusha vanishes into thin air. So he says, it's based on this Gemara. He says that the Torah is compared to a torch that illuminates for much longer. And the Mitzvahs are compared to a candle that only lasts temporarily. So he says, anything that has Psukim on it, say, the Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah have Psukim, the Ritzuas don't have Psukim, the Batim don't have Psukim on it, don't have the Reiter on it, but it's Tashmishe Kedusha. You have the Parshias have the Reiter on it. So even the Batim, and even the Ritzuas, and even the Tefillin Zekel, and even the cardboard box that you put, you put the Batim in, even the plastic cover that you put the Mezuzah in, all of these are the mental of the Sefer Torah Yoreh Kodesh. They don't have Psukim, that's Tashmishe Kedusha. Since the Sefer Torah has Kedusha, so the things that are Mishamish, they're protected, that enhance its beauty, you are also considered Tashmishe Kedusha. But how do they decide what's Gufei Kedusha? Gufei Kedusha Hayes, whatever has Divrei Torah. So that has an everlasting Kedusha. Even after it becomes possible, you have to put it in shame because you can't throw it out. But in there is only of a temporary nature. A candle will only last temporarily. So any other mitzvah that's only a Tashmishe mitzvah doesn't have Divrei Torah on it. So that will only have a Kedusha Bizman Mitzvot, and after the Zman HaMitzvah, the Kedusha will disappear. the problem is, it says in Hilchos Chanukah, they quote, there's a Taisus in Ma'amem Adlikin, Lo Dinam of Chanukah, appear in Perik Ma'amem Adlikin. The Taisus there quotes from the Shiltas, who quotes a Braisa, which we don't have in our Gemara. He quotes a Braisa, we don't have a Masach HaSor from either, but he quotes a Braisa, we don't know what the source is. That if you have Moshe Shemesh Ebener, if you have the leftover oil, if you lit the Hanukkah candles, it says in Shulchan Aruch, after the half hour is up, you can blow out the candles. So in other words, it's only hooked to the mitzvah for the first half hour. What if you lit the candles, you lit the oil, whatever, and it went out by itself in the middle of the first half hour? So the amount of oil and wicks that would have been used up in the first half hour were hooked to the mitzvah, and it was never used up. So if you have Moshe Shemesh had been there, if you have leftover oil, leftover wicks, if I never lit it, if I have a bottle of oil, Tazmona La Milti. I have a bottle of oil and I poured some of it into the menorah. The rest of it I never poured in, and the rest of it I never lit. So that's not hooked to the mitzvah. But the oil that was poured into the cups and I lit it, and it blew out in the middle of the first half hour, so that says that that's hooked to the mitzvah. So even after Hanukkah is up, it remains the Kedusha's hooked to the mitzvah, and you're not allowed to use it for any purpose other than their Hanukkah. So put it away and save it for next year. So it says, B'choshesh from Mikshol. He's going to put it away. He's going to forget. He's going to put it in a bottle somewhere. He's going to forget that this is Shemesh on their Chanukah. He's probably going to use it in the middle of the year. So the Gemara says, M'sochem is the end of the first parak. You're not allowed to leave Yisuri HaNoah around the house too long, because someone's going to be nichshol. Someone's going to forget that they have non-kosher food for the goyish worker, for the goyish workers in my building. They shouldn't leave it in your refrigerator. Some member of the family is not going to realize that it's not kosher. Then they go and eat it. But that's why they quote in the Shulchan Aruch, the leftover oil and the leftover wicks. After Chanukah is over, it retains the status of hook to the mitzvah. You're not allowed to use it for anything other than hadlokas neres Chanukah. So you have to save it till next year. Das toiknish. It will be a michshol. Hashina l'takola. So you have to make a fire and burn it now. So the Keredayra is the kasha and the Gemara in Masech Shabbos. Keredayra on Shabbos says, why? It's tashmishay mitzvah. It's not tashmishay kedusha. So after Chanukah is off, the hook to the mitzvah so should be over. But the esrit that's left over, or like the old talis, the zman mitzvah is up, so throw it out in the garbage and use it for secular purposes. Well, what's the problem? So he says, apparently this brisa that the shilt is quoted, he treats the shemen and their Chanukah as if it's shemen in the menorah. Shemen in the menorah, based on Mikdash, is mamish kodesh. So that's what we say, aneres halol kodesh. That piyut, aneres halol, comes from Masech HaSofrim. So that's what it sounds a little bit. Masech HaSofrim seems to be assuming that the Yisuri Hador of the Ner Chanukah is not because it's hooked to the mitzvah. The Gemara says it's because it's hooked to the mitzvah. The Gemara says the original source of hooked to the mitzvah is the Sukkah with the Esrog. And Ner Chanukah is hooked to the mitzvah based on Sukkah, based on Esrog. But then Lemaisa, we don't follow the Gemara. We assume like the Masech HaSofrim. And there was a lot of Kodesh, and we treated it as if it would be like a korban, like a korban chagiga. So you have to burn it after the yontif is over, after Chanukah is over. Yeah. While it's lit, it's Kodesh. After Chanukah is over, it should be ice.
I once heard that even some people, even if you have one of them in a bottle, that you never even pour, you can burn it away for Chanukah. You have to use it. Also has some sort of
maybe that's a midas chassidus, but in Shulchan Aruch it says not. Shulchan Aruch says that has one alav milsi. Only the oil that I actually use to light, and if I'm allowed to blow it out after half an hour and use the leftover oil, that says in Shulchan Aruch. So if it went out after half an hour, so you don't need any more. It means the Shulchan. This shiltus means if it went out in the middle of the first half hour. So then it took to the mitzvah, and you have to burn.
On the level of the Rabban, Rabbi, but not on the level.
No, for sure not on the level of the rice. Some say that the hook to the mitzvah of Baner Chanukah is a din deraisa. Even though the obligations are like Ner Chanukah is only when the Rabbana, the Shachan Yerideh has Akasha. Yeah. What's the din? If, let's say, I have something that's treif, and I want to eat it. You're not allowed to. So let's have a treif of salami. You're not allowed to eat the treif of salami. So we have an easy solution. Buy two kosher salamis that look exactly the same. Take off all the wrappers, and you mix them up cozy, right? You don't know which is which. It'll be muffled the right. So there's a din aim about the Rishon HaChid. Not allowed to do that. So what's the din? If by mistake, I have something that's straight, and it fell into kosher, that case, three salamis, that's what we call a taruvus of yovish biyovish. What if you have a taruvus of lach balach? A little bit of chazah shmalz fell into a pot of soup. So if you have shishim, then it's bottled to shishim, so you can eat all the soup. If you don't have shishim, so it's not bottled, so you can eat. But it's hashot. You have to throw out a whole pot full of soup because you don't have shishim. So is it permissible to add on a little more kosher soup in order to be mashlim the shir shishim? So the Gemara says you're not allowed to. So if Yosef Karo and the Shulchan Aruch and the Chaver Paskins, like those Rishonim who take the Gemara and Beitzah at face value literally, that if the issa that fell into the pot of soup is chazushmalt and issa deraisa, then you're not allowed to add on. But if the issa is only an issa derabbanon and it fell into heter and it's a shot, you're losing the heter. You're not allowed to take an issa derabbanon and close your eyes and mix it in and be mevatlet. That you're not allowed to do. But if it fell in, you don't have shishim. So then the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, we don't. The Ramot says the Ashkenazim don't follow that. But the Sfarim follow the Mechabes. It's only an Issa Derabbanan that fell in. You don't have shishim. You're permitted to add on more until you're going to have shishim. So the Shach and Yerideh asks, but there's a contradiction in the Mechaber. In Hilchas Chanukah, Rabbi Yosef Kara quotes from the Shiltas that if you have the Shemen Shebener Chanukah that's left over after Chanukah is over, the Shemen remains hooked to the Mitzvah. Even after Yom Tov Chanukah is over, the Shemen is still hooked to the Mitzvah. And what if the shemen fell into other shemen? So you don't need shishim. It's not an issue of tafik. You need roiv. What if you don't have roiv? So the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to be moisim fallible about it. Not allowed to add on. So the Shach asks, but the whole mitzvah of Nerachadik is only midirabbanon. So the whole hooks of the mitzvah, the maximum can only be midirabbanon. So the Mechaba holds if it's an issue of rabbanon that fell in, you don't have the sheer bitul, and you are permitted to add on. So why was he machma by Nerachadik? That's the Shach's kash. Shach doesn't have a terutz. So one of the several terutzim that the later, the Chavadas has a razzle dazzle terutz. So one of the terutzim that they quote is that they said, right. Rabbi Frank Zalman Margolius was a businessman. He lived in Broad. He was more famous than the rabbi in Broad. The rabbi in Broad at that time, the author of the Sefer Leib Aryeh, I'm Chulin, used to be a classic, and now hardly anybody heard of the Leib Aryeh. So the Balabas, the businessman, the wealthy businessman, was world famous, more famous than the rabbi in his city. And he has the Shalom Shuvah's Beis Efraim. So Chelek Arachayim, he talks about this kasha of the Shach. So he says the obligation to light Ner Chanukah is only for the Rabbanu, but once you light it, it becomes hooked to the Mitzvahs and HaTorah. So he thinks that it remains hooked to the Mitzvahs and HaTorah even after Chanukah is over. That's questionable. I might agree with the Beis Efraim that on Chanukah there's room to say, even though the obligation to light Ner Chanukah is only for the Rabbanu, but whenever a person does a mitzvah with the Rabbanu, you can say it has a Chalashem mitzvah on the level of their Isa also. It's hooked to the mitzvah of Menatara. But to say the hook to the mitzvah of Menatara stays on even after Chanukah is over, to say that it's like Shemin in the Beis HaMikdash and the Menorah, that's already a stretch, that's already Midirabbanan. That's very hard to say that that's Menatara. The first step of the Beis HaRayim is not so big. That a mitzvah Midirabbanan, although the obligation to perform it is only Midirabbanan, once you do it, as a Chalashem mitzvah Menatara. We showed him in the Achrenim
discussion. That's like a magical kind of thing. All of a sudden, you come to write them.
Because the whole basis of observing mitzvahs from the Rabbanon is to demonstrate Avos Hashem. We love HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much, we go in the direction that He wants us to go, even above and beyond what He instructed us to go to do. So whoever fulfills a mitzvah from the Rabbanon, the obligation to light Ner Chanukah to do a mitzvah Rabbanon is only with the Rabbanon. But once you do it, you're demonstrating your Avos Hashem. So that, in a certain sense, is a mitzvah minatar. Whatever you do to demonstrate your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a mitzvah we have to us Hashem HaKecha. So the Rishonim and the Poskim do discuss letter ha'isik b'mitzvah potem and ha'mitzvah. A person is busy fulfilling a mitzvah min the Rabbanon, does that relieve him from fulfilling a mitzvah minatar? So some say that yes, a mitzvah min the Rabbanon, the obligation to fulfill it is only min the Rabbanon, but once you do it, that is a chalashay mitzvah on the level of the Raisin. Doesn't exist, the mitzvah of the Achanikah doesn't exist in Atar, but it's a form of fulfillment of the mitzvah of Avos Hashem. So the first step of the Beit Efraim is not so bad to say that the Ner Chanukah is hooked in the mitzvah of Atar. Once you light, hooked in the mitzvah of Atar. But that hooked in the mitzvah should end once Chanukah ends. Why should it last on min Atarah? Even after Chanukah, that part is only midirabbanan. That we declare that Ner Chanukah is, this would be like in the Beis HaMikdash. Like the Shemin and Beit HaMikdash, that Tanir is Alon HaKadosh Hain, even after Chanukah. That's questionable. Or take, for example, there's a Mishnah in Menachos. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a lot of that. Mishnah in Menachos that says, you're not allowed to harvest any of the Chameshas Mini Dogon before you cut the Ketziras HaOmer, Pesach time. The Ketziras HaOmer is the night, Matzoi Yosef Shal Pesach, the night of the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach. You're supposed to harvest the Minchas HaOmer. So that's called Reishis Kitzirchem. The Omer is called Reishis Kitzirchem. So you're not supposed to harvest anything else. But that's only Reishis Kitzirchem, what you harvest for yourself. What if you're harvesting with Dvar Mitzvah? So then you're allowed to. So the Mishnah gives examples of Dvar Mitzvah, Mitzvahs Medirabbanim. Mishnah gives examples, Mitzvahs Medirabbanim. So it would appear that when the obligation to observe the Mitzvah Medirabbanim is only Medirabbanim, but once you're doing it, there has a Chavashem Mitzvah on the level of the Reishis. So that is Nitan Lehiyom.
But doesn't that get into the old question about everything is in the Raisa because it listens to the Rabbanan? Was it Rambam's question?
Right. The Rambam yes on the Rambam. He says if everything is based on Lois Osir, so how can you say Sveika the Rabbanan Lakula for the Dinam the Rabbanan become the Raisa? So you have to say that the obligation to observe.
It's the Hemam or Hemam or another way the Rabbanan or maybe it's a Gayer under certain conditions.
Whenever there'll be a Sufik, you can be Maker. Right? That's what the Rambam said. Maybe you'll say, hey, Mama, hey, Mama, hey, Hisnu. when they instituted the mitzvah, the Rabbanah, the Yisra, the Rabbanah, they said, if there'll be a Makam Safik, we're not Mechaydi to do it. So Ramban thinks it's not correct, but the other commentary said that's obviously what the Rambam thinks. Yeah, Imam, Imam. Yeah. That we do it. So again, Rav Chaim Volozhin says that this whole concept, that the hook to the mitzvah is only temporarily called mana mitzvah. But if you have the great Torah, it's Tashmishe Kedusha. The Kedusha lasts on longer, even after this mana mitzvah is up, the Zevedar Tzunan Mezuzah. He said it's based on this pasuk, Kiner mitzvah v'Torah or. The Torah gives illumination and gives hagana, gives protection, even way after the time that he learned the Torah, and the mitzvah is only megan temporarily. So that's the Gemara's kasha. What schus does the soita have that she should live on 1 or 2 or 3 years after she drank the mamamor? It's probably schus limanat Torah, but she's any mitzvah v'yoyse. So that doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, elamai schus ha-mitzvah, but the schus ha-mitzvah is only of a temporary nature. So it shouldn't be making after she already stopped doing it. She did the mitzvahs yesterday. Today she drank the maimon morim. So the schus yesterday should not be making for today. That's what the Gemara quotes. Zu darish menachem v'rab yosef. The Gemara quotes at Tana. This is about the dafkof aleph and menalev, 10 lines from the top. But Tanya, the Gemara quotes at Braisa, the Tana menachem v'rab yosef made this comment. But there's a difference between the protection of mitzvahs and the protection of Torah. Kiner mitzvah, the Torah, the Pasuk in Mishlei compares the limud haTorah to a torch. Tavak asavas haMitzvah b'ner as haTorah ba'or. Torah, leaning the schus of limud haTorah compared to a torch. The mitzvah b'ner la'malach maner ein ameira elul lefisho. The candle only lights temporarily. After mitzvah ein begin lefisho. While you're doing the mitzvah, it'll be megan. It's not going to be megan 3 years later. She drank the mamamorim. She should die within a day or two. How can it be that the mitzvahs that she did are going to be megan for 3 years afterwards? As a Torah bar, if you would have the schus of liman haTorah, that's like a torch. Lamaloch ma'or meir la'olam. It gives illumination for a much longer period of time. Haftorah megina liman haTorah gives schusim, gives it will protect you from poranias even to 2 or 3 years after the person stopped learning. The Omer, the other part of Gemishle says, "Bisalechacha, as you walk around in life, Tancha Ischa, the Limud haTorah will guide you." The Omer, the pasuk continues. The Gemara is commenting on the whole pasuk. "Bisalechacha, Tancha Ischa, as you're walking in life, the Torah will guide you. Torah will lead you. Tancha Ischa zehu elamazeh. As a person learns Torah, he knows what's right and what's wrong. He knows how to act. Tishachbacha." When you go to sleep, Tishmar Alecha, what is that referring to? Zumisa. When a person dies, so the oil of Ma'emes, after he dies, he will be protected. Tishmar Alecha. The fact that he learned Torah during his lifetime will protect him in the oil of Ma'emes. So then, Vahakitsoisa, when he wakes up after going to sleep, means after Tchias HaMeisim, he Tishich Echo, the Limud haTorah will give him the ability to talk. He'll be able to talk and learning in the future. This is Lasid Lavoi after Tchias HaMeisim. Moshal Adam says, so the first comment that they made was the three parts in the pasuk b'salechecha when you're walking b'olam hazeh, the limud haTorah will guide you what's right and what's wrong. B'shachbecha when you die, tishma lecha in the olam ha'emes. V'kitzos after tchias ha'emes. So now the Gemara gives another mashal. Mashal adam shayim halach deishan layla la'feil. A person is walking and it's pitch black outside. The moon is not shining and he can't see a thing. Well, Missouri has to be afraid of many things. Menakotzim, he may walk into the thorns and he'll cut his feet, he'll cut his legs. Menapechosim, there are ditches, he can fall into a ditch. Menaparkonim, also thorny places. Umichayaro, there are wild animals that only come out in the jungle at night. In the daytime, they're afraid to appear. Umenalistim, the gangsters only roam around at night. Many day he doesn't know Beza Derech Mahalach, he doesn't know if he's going in the right direction or the wrong direction. He may be harmed by the animals, by the gangsters, he may fall into a pit, to a trap, or he may get harmed by the thorn bushes and so on. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know which direction he's going. Nizdamnala Abuka Shalor, what if he's Zoicha, he has a torch, so that's gonna help him a little bit. He'll be, but it's still pitch black, it's still the middle of the night. So he'll be Nitzal Minap Kotzim, he's holding the torch, so he'll know not to walk into the thorns, and Minap Bechosim won't fall into the ditches. He won't walk into the thorny bushes. However, if I die, but still the middle of the night, so the wild animals are still roaming around. And the gangsters are still running around at night. But Daim is German and Chayyar Roman, and they're still, they're day based at Derech Mahalach, still doesn't know where he's going, north, east, south, west. He's lost, he doesn't know what direction he's going. Kibbe Shalom Bura Shachar, when the sun, when the light in the morning starts to appear, so Nitzum, so the animals run away, the animals go back into the jungle, they're not going to be roaming around, men are listed, the gangsters are afraid the police will catch them, so they disappear, but he still doesn't know if he's going in the right direction. And then any day, based on their mouth, doesn't know if he's going to New York or further away from New York. Gila Parash is driving, he comes to a fork in the road, and there's a sign that says, this way to New York and this way to New Jersey, you sure? So it's Nitzum Nikul, so everything is solved. So therefore what? So the Gemara is going to explain what that marshal is supposed to mean. The Gemara is going to explain, a person learns Torah, he can still become Kali. He can still decide to sin and to ruin his life. But in a certain stage, if the learning Torah is so long, as the Gemara discussed, what is that stage in developing and learning, he'll be set for life. The Gemara says, till the day that he dies. The Gemara is going to say, he's not set for life till the day that he dies. He can always be side to sin. Okay, Gemara is going to discuss what's that marshal supposed to explain. Then the Brisa says, Dovracher, another comment, what's the difference between a candle and a torch? So the first comment, the Tana said was that the candle only lasts temporarily, and the light of the torch lasts longer, so the schus of Lema Nadar will extend for 3 years. The schus of Shmiras HaMitzvahs that the Saita did before she came to the Beis HaMikdash, it can't be that that will protect her for 3 years. Only the schus of Lema Nadar. The Baruch, another suggestion, why do we compare mitzvahs to candles and Lema Nadar to a torch? If you'll have the wind blowing, so if you only have a little candle, so the wind will blow out the candle. If you have a big torch, the wind is not going to blow it out. Well, let's say you have a flood, of water will go. So if you have a little candle, if you have a little flood, the flood will extinguish the candle. Goodbye. If you have a big torch, the flood may not succeed in extinguishing the candle. So the Tana says, the Baruch, and the other explanation, why mitzvah is compared to a candle, and Liman HaTorah is compared to a torch. Aveir of Nechabah mitzvah. If a person did a lot of mitzvahs, then he does Aveiris. So the averes are like a flood that can be mechabed in mitzvah. They ain't aver mechabed terpah. If the person learned Torah, then he does a lot of averes later. The schus that he deserves from Liman HaTorah, even though now he does a lot of averes, the schusim will never be wiped away because that's like a torch. Even if you have a big flood, Mayim Rabim, a lot of water, will certainly put out the candle, but it may not succeed in putting out the big torch. So the simple reading of the pasuk is that the boy and the girl can have sechon and bar shalom, love each other, and the love is tremendous. So the Gemara has an interpretation. Mayim Rabim is referring to averus. Ava means the ava that a person develops for HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he learns Torah. What does Rashi comment over here? That's what the Gemara says in other places. The Yayin Begematria is 70, and Sod Begematria is 70, so Nichnas Yayin Yotza Sod. Okay, that's a different thing. When a person gets drunk, he'll say things, publicize things that he should have kept secret. So Rashi is interpreting the Pasuk. Means a chelak of liman haTorah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings me into the Beis HaMedrash to learn Torah, the digloy alay ahava, the liman haTorah, causes me to develop a greater love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how we recite in Kriyat Shema every day. V'yahavtos Hashem alakech b'chol levavcha. How do you develop avos Hashem v'hayad v'ayim ha'el shanechem tzav chayam alav avecho? Through liman haTorah. That's what Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Sifrei. And that pasuk in Kriyat Shema, so the Liman HaTorah person develops Avos Hashem. So Rashi says, Mayim Rabim, the Dover Achad, the second interpretation of Ramrachim Rab Yosi, commenting on the pasuk in Mishlei, comparing Shmiras HaMitzvahs to little candles. Liman HaTorah to a big torch. If you have a big wind, or you have a big flood, Mayim Rabim LaYichlo L'Chapes L'Sahavo. The Ava that develops after Liman HaTorah is going to be so great that you'll deserve such schusim for having learned so much Torah, so Aver will not be mechabed. Even if you do, if the Saita did a big Aver, she was an Eshes Ishes Inso, See, she deserves to be punished. If she would have had a schus of limanatar, she doesn't have schus of limanatar because she's ain't a mitzvah b'yosef. But if she would have had a schus of limanatar, so the aveira beishes ishes insa would not wipe out liyuchel lechapes asavu. Wouldn't be able to wipe off the schus of limanatar. The word avu, Rashi's explaining the word avu has the connotation of limanatar based on that pasuk in Shir Hashirim, chapter base. Heviyanayam base hayoyin. Base hayoyin means so limanatar. The digloy alai avo limanatar leads to avos Hashem. So that's what the Gemara says. If the woman only had schus of mitzvahs stuck in davening and other mitzvahs, so the avera of eishes ishes so will wipe off the schus of the other mitzvahs. But if she would have had the schus of talmud Torah, she doesn't, because she had a mitzvah of yaisa. So that can the schus to live on for 3 years schus of limanatar that would not be wiped off because of the leisina. But the schus of mitzvah should be wiped off. So that's the Gemara's kasha. If the woman is not mitzvah and talmud Torah, so what schus? Are you talking about schus of shmiras hamitzvah? So shmiras hamitzvah, the schus is only of a temporary nature. How can it be she's going to live on for another 3 years? That's the Gemara's kasha. And for the Gemara, you're right. The schus of mitzvah is only of a temporary nature, but that's a different schus. To talking about two different schus. When a person does mitzvah and he learns Torah, he has a schus that he should live on, even if he does others later, even if she violates lesinov, as a schus, as a reward for having done mitzvah, having learned Torah, she should live on for another 3 years. But we just made a distinction that the schus of mitzvahs is only of a temporary nature. That's a different schus. When a person is performing mitzvahs, as a schus, while he's performing the mitzvah, he will be protected that he won't do averus. But that protection that he won't do averus, that's only of a temporary nature. Afterwards, he may do averus. A person learns Torah, not only does he have a lasting schus that he'll live on 3 years. The mitzvahs and Torah are the same. The Gemara is going to say the schus for mitzvahs and the schus for Torah is going to last for years and years. After he stopped learning and after he stopped doing all the mitzvahs, they both have the schus to protect him from puranas for years. But the difference between Torah and mitzvahs, that the Torah is longer and mitzvahs is a short period of time, that's the schus to protect him not to do averus. So the Gemara says, "Anayim I said." A person learns Torah, he's going to be protected from years not to do averus. It's not true. There are people that learn Torah the next day, they go and they do averus. So the Gemara backs out from that pshat. How can you say that the schus of mitzvahs is only temporary to protect them from sinning? And the schus of Torah is going to protect them. We know big tamid chachamim who do averus the next day. So the Gemara backs out from this. First, the Gemara is going to be Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is first going to patch it up. Then his mind is going to shlug it up. Amar Rav Yosef, mitzvah. When a person does a mitzvah, bid the dasik for migana umatzla. While he's doing the mitzvah, not only is it megin on him to protect him that he shouldn't die, he should live on. It's matzal him not to daver. It's bid the dalay dasik for. After he finished doing the mitzvah, guni magna, the schar of the mitzvah will protect him, and he shouldn't die for 3 years to come. Afterwards, even though she did mitzvahs before she became a soito, she shall live on 3 years. Atzulei by matzah. It's only temporary nature. It won't be matzah him from sinning later. But if a person learns Torah, baby yidun dachit, but baby yidun dachit, but megano matzah. Now, lima la Torah is so great, not only will he live, he stopped learning it, not only will he live on another 3 years, he will be protected for another 3 years not to sin. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Maskif la rabba, maskif la rabba. So Rabbi tells Rabbi Yosef, what are you talking about? We know people, famous Talmid HaChamim, and tomorrow they do have errors. How can you say that the Liman HaTorah protects them from sinning for years to come? Maskif la rabba, he should have said, you and I know people in the base. He doesn't want to say, present company excluded doctor. He picks on people in Tanakh. You don't have to look in Tanakh. We have people alive in Arjun. Elamayat effecta. The biblical figures, Miloy Askibatar, they learned a lot of Torah. Amayla Higino Alayu, how come they sin later on? You know, a lot of people, they learned Torah and they sin later on. Elamar Rabbi, the way Rabbi Yosef presented it is not accurate. You gotta touch it up a little bit. You have an Achmar Rabbi Yosef, the Tana says, based on the Pasuk in Mishlei, that the mitzvahs are only of a temporary nature and the Torah is a permanent longer. But again, to what? So it can't mean b'negiah to protect me from sinning. People close the Gemara and they go and they sin right away. They go rob a bank. If it doesn't protect the Elam, a Rav Torah, Vita the Asik, but while he's learning the Torah, Megano Umatzla, it'll protect him. He should live on, and then Matzla him from Averis. Vita the Loy Asik, but once you finish learning Torah, you're no longer learning Torah. Aguni Magna, it'll protect him for another 3 years. He shouldn't die. However, Atulila Matzla, it won't be Matzla him from sinning. And a mitzvah, Ben Vita the Asik, but Ben Vita the Loy Asik, but Aguni Magna, Atulila Matzla. So the Gemara says, mitzvahs don't even protect you while you're doing the mitzvahs. You have to say the mitzvahs are less than the Torah. So the Torah doesn't protect me for later. The Torah doesn't protect me for later from sinning. We know people from the Chacham who do sin. So what's the difference between the Torah and mitzvahs are both the same. They're not matzel you from sinning later. The difference is it megan? Will it protect me from dumb? So if a person learns Torah, it should protect them for 3 years to come. And the mitzvahs will only protect me temporarily. So we're back again with the question. So what schus does a woman have that she should live on 3 years? If it's a schus of living on Torah, she's ain't a mitzvah v'yoyse. And if it's a schus of mitzvah, that should only protect her from living on a day or two. Shouldn't protect her for 3 years to come.
Rabbi Ulbach said, talk as a muscle of the woman. On the way to the basement, maybe she can take some of the
dog. Okay. Not 3 years. The Gemara thinks not 3 years. And you keep on giving stock every day.
One year, maybe 1 year.
No, every day. Give stock. Because that would be months only months, I guess. Okay. I don't know. So Rabina says no. The Yoy Lama we said originally is the correct answer. The schus of Libanatur. I, but the woman is Eina Mitzuva. The Yoy says, so it can't be that much schus. So he says, the woman is saying to Mitzvah V'yoseh, she's not mechuyev to sit and learn Gemara on her own, to sit and learn a deer, but she is mechuyev to raise her children, so she should share in the schar of the Limud HaTorah. She prepares the lunches for her children to go to school. And when they come home, she chazes the chumash with them, and she does the homework with them, and then she waits for her husband till he comes home from the Beis Medrash. She waits to eat dinner when the husband comes home. So since she participates in the Talmud Torah of her children, of her sons and her husband, so she is mitzuga on that. That's not a mitzuga means she's going to sit and learn on her own. But then she is mitzuga. That's the role of a good mother and a good wife.
That's
to help the husband and to help the children. Le'olam schus ha'tarah zakta udikam, and she's a mitzuga v'yaisa. So why should it last? Why should this car be so great that she should live on for 3 years? So the gemara nehi the pikudei lo nifka, though she herself is not mitzuga. She's not mitzuga to learn. Of a Bahagra, the Schar, the Makrin. Makrin means to learn Mikra. So she has this Tanakh with the children. Umasniyon. Masniyon means to learn Mishnayos. So the little children come home from school, so she has the Chumash with them, and the mothers often chaz the Mishnayos with the children. The Makrin, the Masniyon, Benayu, their sons. And their husbands also, the Natran, Lula Gavrayu. And they wait for the husband, Adas and Ibe Madrasha. They don't eat supper at 6 o'clock. They wait till the husband comes home later in the evening, so therefore they deserve, that's mitzvah v'yoseh, to help out a husband, to help out a children. Don't they share in the schar of Torah with the husband and with her son? So therefore she has the schus of Talmud Torah, and therefore she can live on for 3 years.
Being the basic sefer, right, she says.
Yep. She has this. Or to bring them to the basic sefer.
Yeah.
That's when the husband's going out of town, coming back late.
Rashi translates masni on. Masni on means to bring them.
No, they wait to the husband to come far away. They wait for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. They're different cities. Okay.
So it's in the Torah, Mikra, and Lusha, Krishna. Masni on still means Krishna.
I don't know. I think maybe Rashi's pointing. Rashi seems to translate masni on means to bring them. Well, be on the basis of Sefer. Not to learn Mishnayos.
Sefer. No, Mikra, Mikra.
Mishnah,
yeah.
Also, yes. Mishnah means Mishnah.
It would be Torah about there, no?
Yeah.
That which wouldn't be technically not be thought.
The Rambam draws such a distinction. The Rambam, the Mishnah is going to say the father shouldn't, in the top of our base, the father's going to quote from the Mishnah, the father shouldn't teach his daughter Torah, it's not a smart idea. So the when this is quoted in Yoredei, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in the tour, in the bottom of the page in the tour, the Prisha has a comment. Prisha has a comment. that this is only an instruction for the father when the daughter is very young. The father decides which school to send her to. He decides what curriculum she's going to use to study. So he shouldn't send her to a school where they're teaching Gemara. The father shouldn't teach his daughter. What if the girl is already old? The girl, she's married, she has children, she wants to go learn Gemara somewhere. So the preacher writes on the bottom of the Torah, the Gemara is not talking about that. That's not a problem. We're talking about a young girl, and the father is making all the decisions for the girl. Also, the Adam Sheilamid is Bita Torah. It's interesting. One of the Achrayim writes that the reason why the Gemara has a drasha, Lamat Masma is Benechem, Velo Benechem, that women are only mechuyev to learn Torah as a hemshah mitzvah to lead up to fulfilling Shabbos and Kashrus and Parashat Hamshpach and so on. That's because Limud HaTorah is always compared to Melchamta Shel Torah, waging war. So when they learn in the yeshivas, they fight with each other and they argue things out. So women, we want women to be feminine. If the women are going to argue things out, then they become masculine. So Noshim Alapadais Melchamaninu. That's how the Gemara says on the first daf in Kiddushin. We don't want to draft women into the army. You're not supposed to draft. And the Rambam writes what you say. He thinks that even a father shouldn't teach his daughter Torah. That's really on Torah Shabbat Peh. We're going to have to see the Gemara on Amid Beis. On Torah Shabbat Peh, he says not so there. Moshe Feinstein says Pirkei Avos is a good idea. No, they're helping the children learn. Their sons learn Mishnah. Yeah, they know how to learn. Yeah.
Isn't the Isha the main aim of the Isha of the Bible?
To raise the children, that's a mitzvah, but to raise the children are learning, so there they divide palgon, they divide the schar with the husband and with the children. So the wife has no choice, the wife has to. Okay, the wife has to do the homework with them. It says on the side, this idea appears in the Gemara Brachos also. It's an interesting Gemara Brachos. The Gemara says, what reward do the women deserve? So the Gemara says, and what kuz do the women deserve? Adam Habo. The Gemara says, in the kuz, that they see to it that the children learn Chumash and Mishnayis, and they wait for the husbands to come back. They participate with the husbands. So what kind of a question is that? What kind of a question is that? Do women do mitzvahs on Mike and Tiger? What do you mean? What do they deserve Alam Haba for? So he explains, the Chafetz Chaim explains based on a different Gemara. Gemara says that Ami Ha'aretz, who never learned Torah, don't deserve Alam Haba. Alam Haba is only for a Talmid HaChachamim. So why? Because they did an Aver that they didn't learn Torah. So they're punished and they lose the Alam Haba. There's a Mishnah, Elam Chel, Elu She'elam Chel Gyalam Haba. The last parak in Sanhedrin is parak Chelim. So it says, Kol Yisrael Yesh Mechel V'Yolam Abo, except if the person is a big Baal Aveira, he loses his chair and chelik in Olam Abo. So list off, a person does terrible Anapi Kuris, and he doesn't believe in Tchias HaBesim, doesn't believe in Bias HaMashiach, all terrible Aveiras. Why doesn't say an Amoritz? If the Gemara says Amoritz is not going to get Olam Abo, so let the Mishnah say an Amoritz is going to be punished. It doesn't deserve Olam Abo. So the Chafetz Chaim explains, the Gemara says in the end of Ksuvah, the Gemara says it doesn't have Olam Habo, that's not a punishment for the Aveir. Olam Habo is a club for Talmid HaChamim. It's not a punishment because it didn't, if you didn't learn, you just don't fit into Olam Habo. Not that you deserve punishment. The Mishnah and Chelik is saying everybody who learns Torah has a Chelik and Olam Habo, except if you did major Aveiras, then you lose your Chelik and Olam Habo. So the Gemara in Brachas is asking, why do women have a Chelik and Olam Habo? The women don't learn. So why should they have a chelik in Olam Habo? It's not, the women are not mechuyev to learn, so they don't deserve punishment for not having learned, but the Amoritz is not being punished for not learning. It's just that Olam Habo doesn't make sense for people who are not into learning. So that was the Gemara's question. It's a funny question. Why do women deserve a chelik in Olam Habo? So the Gemara says, this answer, that's a brachas yudzayin, because they see to it that the children should learn Torah, the husband should learn Torah, because they have a shaykhis for learning Torah. So Olam Habo is only for those who have a shaykhis for learning Torah. No, Taisus Anam Beis quotes, it doesn't say like that. It says, Hakelos Anoshim Anoshim Atav. So the Gemara in the first paragraph in Chagigas, it says, second up, Av Gimel, it says, Posix. So the Gemara says, Anoshim, the men we understand boy in Lilmos. The Noshim Boz Lishmoa. Means also to learn superficially but not in depth. But Atav, Lamavim, what do you bring the top? The top means little children. They don't understand anything. The Gemara says, Litan Tzchar Lemeviyei. But it doesn't say that the women only come to get schar for bringing the children. It says the women come to learn also. The men come to learn a little more in depth. The women come to learn superficially. But you see that there is an Indian that the women should come and learn. So the Rambam says that that's Torah Shebichzav. They're just reading Hakel, they're just reading from the Chumash, from the Sefer Torah. They're not giving a whole pilpul. And Taisus on the top quotes Yerushalmi that does not distinguish between Torah Shebichzav. Torah Shabbat. The Taisus quotes the Rishami that Tana who said that Russia, Hanoshim Boim Lulmas, Hanoshim Boas Lishmoya, he holds that you should teach the women a little bit of Torah. You shouldn't teach them so much in depth, but you should teach them superficially. That's going to be the Machlokes HaTanaim here, that the Gemara is going to quote from the Mishnah. Is it recommended, is it advisable to teach all the women a little bit of Torah, at least superficially, or not at all? So that Gemara says, Noshim Boas Lishmoya, doesn't say Noshim gets schar for bringing the children. The children, why do you bring the children at all? That's Litan schar l'mevi'im. But the Noshim bo's l'shmoya, to learn a little bit. So that Tana seems to recommend you should teach the women a little better. That's what the Chofetz Chaim writes, that in our generation, that if you're not going to teach the women Torah, so they're going to go to university, they're going to read Abdikursenship books and all, novels and all kinds of trade things. So the lesser of the two evils certainly is that we should teach them Torah. Why do we have to teach them Torah? We have no choice today. They're not going to sit at home and twiddle their thumbs and be protected in the Torah atmosphere of the parents' home. They're going to go out to university. They're going to be exposed to the outside world. So that's what the Chofetz Chaim writes and a few of his svarim that we recommend that we should teach the women Torah today. Of course, he was opposed. They say that people learned in Raten. Remember when the Chofetz Chaim went to the meeting that they were going to have with the Ger Rebbe to discuss whether they should support the Beis Yankov movement or not, that he asked the Talmidim and Yeshiva they should all say Tillim, that they should listen to him at the meeting, that they shouldn't open the Beis Yankov. And then when he came and they explained to him what's going on, that the girls, the sons are going to the Chassidus Rebbe's Tish with the father and they're talking, learning, and the daughters are going on Shabbos to the theater with their non-Jewish girlfriends. The girls, the daughters, on the Chal Shabbos. There was no Yiddish education for the girls. So he realized, Pachat Chodik, so then he changed his mind. So then he realized, you have to give the girls a Yiddish education. So afterwards, after he realized what was going on, so then he wrote in the Torah, you have to give a Jewish education to the women.
Torah Shabbat, including Torah Shabbat.
To a certain extent. So in every generation, it becomes more and more, because they're more exposed to other things. That's where Rav Soloveitchik gave the first shiur when they wanted to have a Gemara class in Stern College. It's not required, it's optional. So he felt you have to make Gemara available for the women. If you're not going to make Gemara available by the Orthodox, they're going to go to the Jewish Theological Seminary. And some of the Talmidim did go. Some of the girls went to the seminary and they liked it. And they sent their husbands to go to the seminary. The husbands who had smicha from YU. The husbands went to the seminary, picked up all of the big courses from the seminary. One of them was smart from the yeshiva, even published the whole book. He passed away already. He published the whole book that there's no contradiction between Professor Halivni's Derech Halima and Rabbi Soloveitchik's Derech Halima. It's the difference between night and day. It's Torah Men HaShemayim and Torah Not Men HaShemayim. But his wife insisted that he should go to the seminary to hold her hand. She went to the seminary. So he also went to the seminary. So he fell in over there. So that's what the Rav Del Lubavitcher Rebbe also said like that. They published a meeting that the Lubavitcher Rebbe had with the Belzer Rebbe, the Belzer Rebbe when he was very young. So he visited America many years ago. The first time he visited America, so he visited by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So they had carried on a conversation. So they published it. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe explained why in America it's necessary to make it more available for the women. We don't have to insist that every girl should study more. You have to make it available. Not going to make it available. Those who want will have to go to the seminary. It's a tight mission. You have to make it available. In an Orthodox Sataka by Lubavitch, they have available for that before, I think before Stern College introduced an optional shearing Gemara, the Lubavitch Chassidim had for whoever wants. Hardly anybody was interested. But whoever was interested, they had classes for women available in Gemara, in Crown High, because the Rebbe said they have to do it. No, that Achrayim gave that svara. Achrayim suggested like that. That the style of learning Gemara usually is Melchamta Shel Torah, you call it Aken Yom B'Sefer Melchamas Hashem. That when you learn, you have to be very fresh and very rough and gruff. When you fight in the Beit Medrash, they talk, they argue. I told over the story, but when the Cardinals visited the Yeshiva, the Cardinals were trying to figure out how come in Europe, whoever goes to university doesn't go to theological seminary. How come in America it's not a steer? And how come, especially in Yeshiva University, in the same institution, the same classrooms in the morning they study Gemara, in the afternoon they study college. How come by Zay it's a steer and by us it's not a steer? So they were trying to figure it out, so they attributed it to the Chavrusa system. The only difference that they saw was we have a Chavrusa system and they don't. So they thought maybe they have to introduce the Chavrusa system in their seminaries, maybe that'll solve this steer. So they came into the Beis Medrash a couple of years ago to see what the Chavrusa system is all about. So Rabbi Blau was the Mashgiach in the Yeshiva. So he made an announcement. I was sitting with my Tavos and Tfilin and learning after Shachris. And Rabbi Blau made an announcement that there's a group of Galachim, a group of Cardinals coming to visit the Beis Medrash. Everybody should mind their own business. Just keep on learning. Don't carry on any discussions with them. Let them walk around freely. So I didn't want to stay. So I took up my Tavos and I went home for breakfast. It was around 10:30. And then they told me, Rabbi Chalap said the next day, he spoke public, so he said, what happened? So he said the boys were learning, and they were ignoring everything that's happening, and two boys were learning, and fighting, and screaming, and insulting each other. Fire, you don't know what you're talking about, screaming. So one of the galochim got so carried away, so he taps him on the shoulder, so the boy jumped up, what's the matter? So he said, excuse me, young man. He said, why are you so angry at your study partner? What are you screaming about? So he has to go explain to him. So he says, we have a commandment. He has to have everything in English. So he says, we have a commandment. We have to study the Torah. Torah, they knew what it was. And it has to make sense. Everything has to make sense. So if we study a passage in the Talmud and it doesn't make sense, we have to ask. So we came to a difficult passage and my study partner made a suggestion and I don't agree with him. It doesn't make sense. I'm not going to accept the suggestion because it's wrong. We can't continue until we knock sense into the passage in the Talmud. So the Galach blurted out a comment, ooh, in our religion we're not allowed to ask any questions. About enough. That'll be the end of the whole religion. So Limud HaTorah is always, the Gemara quotes that pasuk in Parshas Chukas. Alkein Yom HaBesefer Mochamas Hashem. Mochamas Hashem is Mochamta Shel Torah. That when the Rebbe learns with the Talmud, and the Rebbe learns with, and the father learns with the son can't be so respectful of the father, and the Talmud can't be that respectful, can't be so dainty. Because when you're learning, you have to be a little chutzpahdik. You have to ask if you think it does make sense, you have to ask with chutzpah, does it make sense? So first, the Gemara says in Kiddushim, when they're learning together, they're like enemies, they're fighting in Muhammad. Then when they stop learning, when you close the big Gemara, and they stop learning, then, they have their ahava again. They love each other again. But b'shas when they're learning, has to be Mahamda Shel Torah. I mentioned there was a what? Right. Right. So it was a different Derech Halimut. But in Bogel, that was a Derech Halimut. Not the Moivim Zelaze. When the Mira Yeshiva traveled on the transcontinental railroad to go to Vladivostok in order to leave to save their lives, so it was not a chartered train. So there went many non-Jews on the train also. So one of the Polish Nachrim wrote his memoirs in Polish, and this chapter was translated into English. That he writes, these people were obviously Jewish, the Mirach ever were Jewish, so he couldn't figure out what's going on. They had these big books, obviously the Gemara. So he said, when the big books were open, they were screaming at each other, and cursing each other, and abusive, and insulting, with all kinds of little shyness. And as soon as the big books were closed, they were the best of friends. So he couldn't make sense out of it. Do they like each other? Do they dislike each other? That's exactly the description that the Nachri has corresponds to what it says in the Gemara. The Shah that they're learning, Nasim Ka'oivin Zelazer, they're like enemy, Mecham Tishalter. That's how we develop, that's the Derech HaLimud and Bavel. We develop the Limud HaTorah through being argumentative. And then, after they close all the big books, the Besof, Esvahe Besufo, then Ahava comes back at the end. Yeah. they tell there's a book that's called Chut HaMeshulash. It has the biographies of the three generations. It has Rebbe Kiva Eger, and his son-in-law was the Chassam Sofer, and one of his sons, he had a few sons, one of his sons was the Ksav Sofer. So the book was written by one of the grandchildren of the Chassam, I think a son of the Ksav Sofer. It has all the family stories about the three generations. The Chut HaMeshulash stories about Rebbe Kiva Eger, the Chassam Sofer, and the Ksav Sofer. He has the story when the Chassam Sofer was a bar mitzvah bocher. So his father was a religious balabas, but he wasn't that learned. So the Chassam Sofer, as a bar mitzvah bocher, was already brilliant. And he said a pshepel, he said an original Dvar Torah, which covered his bar mitzvah. So the bar mitzvah pshepel consisted of, he said over something from an Elter Zeder, from a Sefer Koitzes Yeshuas, on the Zikin. And then he ripped it apart, he showed them what the Elter Zeder said was wrong, and he gave his own answer on the Kash. So his father didn't know whether he's right or wrong, but the father thought it was a chutzpah. A young child, only 13 years old, had the chutzpah to get up in public and to disagree with the Elter Zeder. So he slapped his son, and he said, chutzuf, how do you disagree? How do you have the chutzpah to disagree with the Elter Zeder at such a young age? So Nas Nadla was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. So he told the father, why do you slap your child? He's right, the little kid is right, and your Elter Zeder is wrong. And he told the Chassam Sofer, as a little child, he should leave his father's home. He shouldn't go back. He says, you're going to stay in your father's home, but then you're going to ask a Kasha and Rashi. Your father's going to slap you. Up the curtains. You're not allowed to ask a Rashi. You're going to ask a Shvera Ramba, a Shvera Lina Taisis. You're not allowed to ask any Kashas. He said, that's how a person develops in learning. You have to have the chutzpah. You have to have the gaiva, the kedusha. You have to have a little or a lot of self-confidence that you can't figure out what's going on. So you have to ask Kashas and try to figure out what the answers are. After you figure out the answer, then you have to step back with the humility and have their cherets for the Rabban Shalom. But kol zman that you're learning, you have to have a little bit of self-confidence that you will figure out what's going on. So that's what some achrayim suggested, that the Gemara has a drasha l'marat ha'mosmos b'nei chan v'loi b'nei seichem. Why women foster from learning Torah? Because the derech halima that we have is melchamta shel Torah. It's very argumentative. And we don't want the women to lose their femininity. The men have to be careful also. There are people who learn in yeshivas, and then when they get married, they treat their wives like they're chavrusim, and they're always insulting them and so on. And then when they run their lives in business also, they become lawyers, and they're fresh about it, and they're always tough. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The Gemara talks about David HaMelech, that he had, in a certain sense, a split personality. The Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, I think, lists off the names of the generals in David HaMelech's army. So the simple pshat in the Pasuk is listing off names of the generals. So the Gemara says an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk, Elish Mois Givorois of Shal David. This is a description of the greatness of David HaMelech. So it says there, Odeinu Ho'etzni, Posh Pshat, that's somebody's name. So the Gemara says, no, this is a description of David HaMelech. He was, when he would learn Torah, he would ba'adin atzma kitoy la'ad. He was soft like a worm. When he would go to Mohammed, he would be maksha atzma ka'etz. He was tough as wood. That's why we would say tough as iron or tough as steel. There are people who, in the head of the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, so when they go to fight in the army, they go, they're going to shoot to kill. When they sit in yeshiva, they act like normal people. You have to be like David HaMelech. It's not easy. You have to have the attitude that it's a Muhammad. When you go to Muhammad, you have to shoot to kill. When you learn in the yeshiva, you have to be mad nats mekatei laws. A person has to have different parts of life. He should act differently. He shouldn't carry over this style of Muhammad to shel Torah to the rest of life. You have to do like David HaMelech did. So the Gemara is not going to comment on the mashal. The Menachem Rav Yehuda gave a mashal when the sun finally comes up in the morning. So he's nitzel from the Chai Yisroes and he's nitzel from the gangsters. But still he doesn't know whether he's going north, east, south, or west. And then when he finally comes to a crossroads in the highway and he sees a sign, this way to New York and this way to New Jersey, whatever. Sorry. So then he comes to the Parashas Drachim. Now he knows everything. Now he's not lost. Now he knows everything. So what is that a mashal for? So it means a person learns and he reaches a certain stage in learning. What is that stage in learning that from that time on everything is smooth sailing? That he's not going to be nichshol anymore. So that's what the Gemara asks. My parashas drachim. In the mashal that we gave before, he gets a torch in the middle of the night, so some of the problems are solved, and it comes halos hashachar, more problems are solved, and all the problems are solved, the last problem is solved, which direction he's going, right or wrong, that's solved when he says, give the parashas drachim. What is that a marshal to in one's life? The Gemara says, my parashas drachim, Omar Abchiz, is it, I'm kochim, I'm amisa. He has to be careful till the day that he dies. Once, if he was learning all his life and he dies, then he's safe. Then from that time on, it's smooth sailing. But just because he was learning for the last 60 years, he can become nachat zduki after 60 years of being akai kol. Yeah. So you should never. That tamachach liyam amisa. After the amisa, then he's not going to sit. Then it's smooth sailing. Nachma yitzchak amen now. So tamachach liyam amisa. You can be a tamachachim without Yerushalayim. But if a person is a tamachachim and he has Yerushalayim, so the combination of both together is that he'll have smooth sailing, even before he dies. No, Mazutra Amar, even before that, Mazutra Amar is a tamachachim the sakal eshmaitz alibe the hilchus. There are different ways of learning. So some yeshivas, some people, are so involved in pilpul, they never bother to look up in Shulchan Aruch, what is the maskana? How we pass on Allah on Mises. Whenever Shaila comes up, oh, they remember there's a discussion in the Gemara. It doesn't help that there's a discussion in the Gemara. A lot of Tanoim have a lot of things to say. What's the maskana? Do we pass in this way? Do we pass in that way? A lot of yeshivas, a lot of Talmid Chacham, they spend more time on the Havamina than they do on the maskana. Sometimes it's important to spend a lot of time on the Havamina. How does Gemara have such a wild Havamina in the first place? A lot of times you can derive things from the Havamina. You see that they were working on certain assumptions, certain premises. You can see things are happening. But however much time you spend on the Havamina, you have to spend more time on the Maskana. It's nice to know what all the premises were, what was given in the Havamina, but what's the Maskana? So that's what the Gemara calls, the Talmud Chacham, the Sakha Beishmaitz Alim the Hilchusah. If he finishes learning the whole sukkah, he tries to tie up the loose ends in order to figure out what's Halacha Lamaisa, what's the Din. They say that when Rav Yashiv was a young man, he was married, and he was learning in a kolo. So whenever he would learn the Gemara, he would learn the Tur, and the Beis Yosef, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch. And all the other people in the kolo were laughing at him. What does he need that for? So now, at the age of 102, he gets the last lift. When they have a shayla, they have to call it. The other people just remember all the Havaminas and the Tumpul and Asvarahin and Asvaraher. And he worked out everything. He's not such a razzle-dazzle genius. He just he knows what it says in the Gemara. That's all. But every time he learned Gemara, he learned the Lasuk Eshmais, the Alibah, the Ilkhil. So you have to figure out what was the Havamina, but you have to spend more time. What is the Maskana? What's the Maskana? Halacha L'maisa. How do we pass on Halacha L'maisa? So that's what Rav Nachum Yitzchak interpreted. Who is it? Rav Mazutra says, Higir L'Parashas Drachim, the Tamachachim reaches a certain stage in his learning. That from that time on, it's smooth sailing, he thinks you don't have to wait till the day that you die. If it's a Talmud Chacham and he's learning, if you like to say till Pulim, then you can put in a lot of ego. That you can, big Talmud Chacham like to say big Chidushim, and it's not always going to be Oizgehalten, Halacha L'maisa. So that's sometimes a tragedy. In Kolelim, for years, when a person in the Kolelim wanted to say big Shtigal Torah, so they used to look in the Mabit. The Mabit was a contemporary of Rav Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Karo in Svat, and he wrote a Sefer on the Rambam. Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Kesef Mishnah, gives you all the Makaris and the Gemara and the Mishnah. Well, what's the Rambam based on? And Mabit has a Sefer Kiryat Sefer, a funny Sefer, and he always has something strange to say. So there's always a Shver Mabit. There'll always be something to say. If you want to say a Chabura, just look at the Mabit, there'll always be something to say. Yeah, in recent years, they don't have to print the Mabit anymore. Now they printed the Meiris. Meiri always has something unusual to say. So they always want to say a Shtigal Torah on a Shver and Meiri. So that's, it's cute, but it's not, it should be like Sukkah Shmaisa, leave it ill. The main thing is, you have to learn with Maskana. But then you don't put in so much ego. You're finding out what is the traditional Maskana, Halacha Maisa, and you should be Mitzamt and your Chidushim, not just, a guy's going to come up with big Chidushim in physics. So we tell him, make a spaceship. If the spaceship doesn't get off the ground, it means that you made a mistake in physics. You can say big pulpulim in Gemara also. If you look it up in Shulchan Aruch and it doesn't say the way you said, then the spaceship didn't get off the ground. It means that that's not the accepted shot. Instead of saying such fantastic chidushim, all putting in one's own ego, you should try to concentrate on Sakal and Shmaitza, a little bit of Hilchusa. So that is going to be smooth sailing after that. We don't have to be afraid of him soon. And then the Braisa concluded, Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi concluded, Davaracher, another svara, another interpretation of the Pasuk in Mishlei, why the Pasuk compares Shmiras HaMitzvahs to candles and leaving a third to a torch, Davaracher, that if you have a little flood, so the flood will put out a little candle, 1, 2, 3, but it may not succeed in putting out the torch. So that's what Avera Mechaba Mitzvah and Avera Mechaba Torah. This scar that a person deserves from performing mitzvahs can be wiped off. The woman is going to violate Lysinov. That's a serious Avera Chavura. That can wipe off the scar for any mitzvahs that she did. But the violation of Lysinov will never wipe off the schus of Liman HaTorah, helping the children, helping the person. The husband learns Torah. Ein Avera Mechaba Torah. That's why this is compared to a torch, and that's compared to a candle. Oh, and
right. Hello, Peter Shaker. Hello, Mike. So, as Rabbi explained, we're learning all the kulam and everything else, the kedushim, but the maskan is also important to what the halakha is.
Yeah.
So, why is the mitzvah looked at less here, and the learning looked at more, whereas,
I don't know, that's the pasuk in Kriyat Shema that we say twice every day. V'aftas Hashem Elokecha, how do we develop an Abba for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it says, V'hoya Dvar Mo'ela, through Liman HaTorah. We assume that's the best way to develop Abba Hashem. By doing mitzvahs, we develop a little Abba Hashem, but more so, through Liman HaTorah. Apparently, we assume, we have a tradition, that the Torah is not merely a collection of mitzvahs, it's a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah is referred to in Sefer Shmuel as the Moshal HaKatvayim. It's a Moshal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu, we spoke on many different occasions, Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is described in the parashas Bahaloscha. He was so much greater than the other prophets. He's described as Usmunas Hashem Yabi. He's the only one, the only Navi, who saw the image of God. What do you mean God doesn't have an image? There is no tmuna. What do you mean tmuna Hashem Yabi? So the answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu is the only Navi to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed the Torah, and the Torah is Tmunas Hashem. No Navi before or after Moshe Rabbeinu was ever given Torah. The other Navi were given Hayra Shoah. The others were given Nevuah. Nevuah means something of a temporary nature. The only thing that's binding the Torah is the Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, because that's the description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence doesn't change. Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi. That's what we assume. That's why the Orthodox position is, the main difference between the Orthodox and the non-Orthodox today, is that we say, Zosav Torah lo asim mochlepes. The laws of the Torah cannot change. There are other differences also. Some of the non-Orthodox don't believe in God, have a religion without believing in God. There are other differences also. But the main difference in our generation is that we subscribe to the cloud, Zosav Torah lo asim mochlepes. Why such an insistence? Why such a stubborn insistence that the laws of the Torah cannot change? Because we believe, this is what Rav Soloveitchik points out, both from Rav Chaim Volozhiner and from the Baal HaTanya. They both say the same, based on passages from the Zohar, that the Torah is not merely a collection of dinim. It is. Whatever it says in the Torah is not a mashal. You have to keep Shabbos, keep Shuto, you have to keep Kashvas and Taras HaKshvach, whatever it says, it means it. But not only is it a collection of dinim, it's not merely a collection of dinim. When you put all the dinim together, the whole thing presents a picture of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only thing in the whole wide world that doesn't change, Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, the Briah is always subject to change. But the Briah is Bechutz LeBriah, he doesn't change. So the laws of the Torah can never change. So that's why we assume that by Liman HaTorah, a person comes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gets the Torah is a Moshel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chaim Olozhin says, a Moshel he wouldn't understand either. It's a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. When you put together all the din HaTorah, you get a glimpse to the best of our ability. A human being can't really understand Elokus. You get an inkling of what Elokus is all about. So that's why the Chazal felt that the only way to develop an Abbas Hashem is through Liman HaTorah. Shmiras HaMitzvahs is the goal. The Torah, God will Torah, and maybe the day Maisa. The whole greatness of learning Torah is in order to lead up to mitzvahs. A person who's going to learn Torah is not going to keep the mitzvahs of the Torah, as I always give orphan. He doesn't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Torah has to be Lumban Manas Lakayim, Lumban Manas Lasa. But still, the Liman HaTorah has an element, has an aspect that the Shmiras HaMitzvahs don't have. That it gives them an understanding of what the Likus is all about.
It's not just for burning as well, though. Even if you don't do the mitzvahs, it's not for burning.
Well, if he's learning about matzah and he doesn't eat matzah, then he's not yotze the mitzvah of Liman HaTorah. But if he's learning the mitzvahs on Tlius Baritz, he's learning about mitzvahs about Beit HaMikdash. We don't have a Beit HaMikdash, we don't have the agricultural mitzvahs. But it's not that he's learning the mitzvahs and he's violating them. He's learning, and if it'll ever come up, if it lives so long to see the Beis HaMikdash, he'll be happy to be Mekayman. So that's Laman Amanos Lasseis. And the Liman HaTorah has the added feature to it that he gets a glimpse of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about, what the Likus is all about. So Rabbi Yosef thinks that this comment of the Tanna, Rabbi Nachman Yosef, is Gevaldik, the way he interpreted the pasuk, the difference between a candle and a torch, and there the mitzvah is like a candle and the Torah is like a torch, and so on. And the Liman HaTorah will protect them for years to come, as opposed to mitzvahs will not protect them for years to come. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Darsha Menachem bi Rabbi Yosef lahakrua ki Sinai, Moiridik. This is the emes of Pshat, like Torah mi Sinai. The taich that Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yosef said in this pasuk in Mishlei, the contrast between the candle and torch is Gevaldik. These were the enemies of David HaMelech. So David HaMelech did some kind of a sin with Bathsheba. The question exactly how serious the sin was, but it doesn't tell us there was some kind of a sin. The Gemara has a tradition that David HaMelech, on his madrega, that was a sin. If he would have been a plain citizen, it wouldn't be farechent as a sin. Like Moshe Rabbeinu hit the stone. So the Rishayim has the 10 interpretations from the Rishayim. I'm not sure exactly what the Avera was, but whatever the Avera was, if I would do it, you would do it, probably wouldn't be considered an Avera. Somehow in the Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu, there was some Dakas Dik Avera. Kodesh Baruch Hu Medakdikim Tzadikim, Kuchut HaSaira. Kodesh Baruch Hu punishes the Tzadikim for slight little Averas that they do. So here, the Gemara Shabbos says that David HaMelech, David as an individual didn't sin. David HaMelech and his madrega clearly sinned. The Tanakh says he sinned. Right. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik and others learn how much David chata. David as an individual chata, that's a mistake. David HaMelech and his madrega, David HaMelech, he was chata. That says in Tanakh, the Navi gave him tochacha. He's going to be punished for sin. So they felt, Doeg and Achitayfo were enemies of David. They wanted to kill him. So they felt he sinned with an Eish Yisish or something, he did some Avera, so all the schar that he deserves to leave in the Torah is all down the drain. He lost the schar because he sinned with the Eish Yisish. So that's what this Rabbi Yosef comments. Il molid or shua doig v'chitaychol hachi. If they would have realized what Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Yosef said, that if a person learns a lot of Torah, he deserves reward, even if he violates Lassina, even if he does violate Averis. They would have not been right of him so much. The pasuk says, Lamor. They said about David, Elokim Azavai, God has left him because he sinned with the Eish HaSish, and he deserves to die, doesn't deserve any schus for all the Liman HaTorah that he did. My Dorish, what did they say? Where did they get their idea from? That if a person does an Averit, Yili Arayis, that he loses all the reward, that the Shechina will leave him, Elokim Azavai, the Baruch Shalom is not going to protect David anymore. Because it says by the soldiers in the Jewish army, Liyarbuch Erbez Dava Vishav Miacharecha. It says when the soldiers are in the army, they should be careful. Every soldier has to have a shovel. So they didn't have portable toilets, they didn't have a place to go to the bathroom. So when they have Tsoya, it says Vishavta Vichisisa Tseyatecha. They should cover over the tzoya. And then they should be careful not to walk around undressed, because the Shechina is there, ki Hashem alakecha, mishalat bekerav machanecha lahatzilecha, v'lotso yisravecha v'yodecha, v'hoya machanecha kodosh. The Shechina will only be there if there's nikoya and hamokah. If there's it's a mokum naki, there's no tzoya around there, and there's no erva. And the pasuk says, v'lir b'chayim v'dabar, Bishav Nacharecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not see Erevas Dover, and he will leave you. So they thought that since David HaMelech violated something to do with an Eish HaSish with Bathsheba, Elokim Azavai, like it says in the Pasuk, Erevas Dover, Bishav Nacharecha, the Shechina will leave you. And they didn't realize, Hey, Menem Yoidim, we're not talking about Stam, a boy and a soldier in the army, we're talking about David HaMelech, he had so They didn't realize this. Doeg and Achitofel didn't realize Shaver Mechaba Mitzvah and Aver Mechaba Torah. David HaMelech learned so much Torah and so the schus of the Liman HaTorah is going to last on even if he did violate something with Eishas Ish. The Gemara concludes, it says, Nitin Ish is called Hadesa Bo'ahava Bo'ad Yavuzalo. What does it mean, Bo'ahava? So Rashi, before commenting on the Pasuk, the Gemara quoted, My Rabban Le'ichulu L'chabes Esa Ahava. The Gemara quoted the Pasuk from Shir Ashir. So Rashi interpreted in the Gemara, the Ahava means the schus of the Liman HaTorah, based on the other pasuk in Shir Hashem, Heviani al Beis Hayoyin, the Digloy alai Ahava, so Beis Hayoyin doesn't mean the bar, the saloon where we're going to drink wine. The Beis Hayoyin is the Beis Hamedrash where we learn sod. Yain is sod. So this pasuk also is, in Yitin Ish is kol ha-beisa ba-ahava. If a person is going to pay a fortune of money to a Tamachachim who already did all of his learning, is going to say, I want to share in your other Mahava, both your Buzalah, we're going to laugh at him. That's ridiculous. You can't buy the schus of Liman HaTor after the person learned. So that's what the Gemara is going to comment. My Bozio Buzalah, what does the Pasuk mean? Eitan Isha's Kolan Besa Ba'av, a person is going to pay money to someone else to learn Torah, I want to share your Elam Haba. Omar Rula, the Pasuk is not like Shimon Achi Azariah and Yechanan the Bein Asir. Shimon Achi Azariah is a Tana, who's mentioned, Rashi quote, mentioned in the opening Mishnah in Zvachim. The quote, usually quote, Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel, you say a person's father name, Rav Loza Ben Azariah, Ablaza ben Shamu, you always say by the Tana's name, the father's name. All of a sudden you have a Mishnah here, Shimon Achi Azariah, a Tana who's known by his brother's name. Why don't you say who? What is the father given a guy? He was a ger. Why is he known by his brother? So the Gemara says, because his brother supported him. And his brother supported him, the brother went to business and he supported him. And they made up this deal in advance before he started learning. So the Gemara says, so that's why the brother deserves to be mentioned. Whenever we quote the halacha, the only place they quote him in Shas is opening Mishnah as well. They must have quoted him during his lifetime. They quoted other things that he said. So he's known by his brother because the brother's the one who supported him to learn. But look, Rabbi Yechanan the Bein Nisi also. Rabbi Yechanan was supported by who? By his brother. Okay. So he deserved, so the one who supported him deserved to share the reward for the Liman HaTorah because they sponsored him while he was learning. Right, right. But look, Hillel the Shevna. Hillel, the famous Hillel HaShamayim, Hillel had a brother. The Chiyosar Abdimi Omar, Abdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, so he told us in Bavel, told us the following story, a chunk of history. Hillel was 100 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. The Gemara was the years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. But in Eretz Yisrael, they had these traditions, that historical tradition that in Bobo they never heard of. So Kiyotza Rabdimi, when Rabdimi came to Meretz, so he told us the following story. He wasn't witness to it. It was several centuries before. Hill and Shevna were brothers, Achi Havu. Hill, Osek Batera, and Rashi points out Hill was very poor. The story is related in Yuma that he had to pay a penny to get into the base medrash, and he couldn't afford it, so he was living on top of the roof, and it was snowing, the whole story. Hillel was very poor. And Shevna, his brother, Obad Iska, Shevna was a wealthy businessman, and he never supported the brother. Litzov, after his brother became the chief rabbi, so he said, oh, he wants to share in his Olam Haba. So he wants to give him $1 million. So he said, too late. What is it? After I already learned, if you would have supported me, if you would have sponsored me while I was learning, so then you would be entitled to half of the schar. Omalei, Litzov, Omalei. After many years, after Hillel became world famous, so the brother tells him to arrive, to live life. Let's make a shutzvis now. We'll divide the schar and alam abo. Yom tzabas kol yomra doesn't help. You need to dish and call him beitzo ahava. Boz yo buzo lo. You're going to give all the money you want for ahava, for the schar of liman atayra. So boz yo buzo lo. That's a joke. It only helps. This deal about this woman, Yisachar's woman, only helps. If you sponsor the one who's learning in advance, and then he's talking this life. Then Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in his children, you divide 50-50 the reward. Not that, and you have to give him 50-50. Not that I'm going to have millions of dollars, I'll give him $100,000 a year. No, I'm supposed to share your salary 50-50, then you'll get 50-50 of the reward of this guy and out of my boy. If I'm only going to give him 5% of my salary, so you'll get 5% of his other money. You're not going to get 50%. It's supposed to be, this looks bad, it's supposed to be here for him. Maybe we'll learn a little more Gemara. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if the Soita has a kush and they live on 1 or 2 or 3 years after drink them, my mom she may not die. So the question is, the women will know that this woman was Nazana and she lived on 3 years after she drank the Maimamarim, so they won't be afraid to drink the Maimamarim. They said, we know this woman lived on. So you have to see Mama Ben Azai. So Ben Azai says, every father has to see to it that his daughter learns Torah. Just from the simple reading of Chumash, you would know this. You have to make sure that your daughters learn Mishnayos also. They should know that it's Chus is Taila. They shouldn't think that Maimamarim is a joke. Because one woman lived on 3 years after she drank the Maimamarim, and all the women know that she was guilty. They should know there's such a concept that this Chus is Taila. So what do you have to teach so much Mishnah? I said, teach them one Mishnah. No, apparently you have to teach them. It should be within context. You can't just tell them one thing. You have to teach them more. And the other Tana disagrees. Rav Lezer disagrees with Ben Azar. Rav Lezer, I'm a call him Malamda Tita Torah. Malamda Tiflis. If you teach your daughter Torah, that's awful. Tiflis means znus. Tiflis al-Kadaita. What do you mean? A father sends his daughter to a school where they teach Torah, Mishnayos. So he's teaching us znus. Tiflis al-Kadaita. No, it's a mistake. The correct reading should be Elaim al-Zogazai. Ki'ilu linda Tiflis. The school are teaching a Mishnayos, but it's considered Ki'ilu. He's teaching us znus. Why? Omar Babo, my time there are blessed. Why does he say like that? The Chsiv. Pasuk Mishli says, Ani Chochma. Rashi says, when it says Chochma Mishle, it's referring to Chochma Tatoira. So the Torah is speaking, Ani Chochma, Shachanti Arma. What does that mean? So the Gemara is going to have different levels of interpretation. So the first interpretation is, Kimish Nichnas Chochma Ba'adam, Nichnas Simo Armumis. When a person starts to learn Torah, means Torah Shabbat. So he starts to drei, with a grubbing finger. He starts to learn all the ins and the outs and how to do haramas and all kinds of stuff. Torah Shabbat is pretty flat. But Torah Shabbat teaches you, Kate Marim Malamais and Shane Levadosa Balachomish, how to do this haram, how to do that haram. So when you're going to teach little children, you start to teach them Torah Shabbat Peh, so they're going to learn how to be clever, how to do wise guy shtick. So for a little boy, it's not so bad. For a little girl, it may cause a problem. Kila malamda tiflus. A little girl, she'll be interested in having an affair, so she'll figure out how to cover it up, how to hide it. So that's why Rav Lezer says, Kala malamda is mita Torah. If he teaches Mishnayos, Torah Shabbat Peh, kila malamda tiflus. It's as if you're encouraging them to do znus, because to lima Torah Shabbat Peh, to learn how to do things in a sly fashion. Bring mother Rabbanon, but the other Tanoim disagree with Reb Lezer. So how do they reap shot in the pasuk? Shouldn't that pose a problem? How come the other Tanoim recommend to learn Torah to the girls? Why do they recommend? Because they have a different understanding of the pasuk. Rabbanon, highly chachma may avdele. How do they interpret the pasuk? Ani chachma shachanti orma. So a different age. What does he say? And the term is kind of malicious. Mamen atzma orem aleihem. A person wants to be wealthy. He wants to do parnas. He wants to be very rich, and he wants to learn also. So the Gemara says, ani chachma shachanti orma. If you're naked from everything, if you give up all of your money and all of your everything, your comfort in life, and you give all of your efforts and energy into learning Torah, then you succeed. You can't succeed and learning Torah and at the same time be a wealthy businessman. You can't do both at the same time. The Rashash was a wealthy businessman. He was the Rosh HaKohol, he was the president of the Vilna Kehillah. So in one place, in Yevamos, he writes Akasha, and he writes that the Netziv, he met the Netziv, was really in Vilna, he met the Netziv on one occasion, and the Netziv gave him a Torah. So in Isha Meshitos, the Sefer by Rav Zevin, he writes the whole story. The Rashash doesn't write the whole story. So he writes the whole story that the Rashash met the Netziv and he asked him this murderous kasha that he was bothered with for 20 years, and the Netziv gave him a teretz right away. So the Rashash says, how come I didn't think of that teretz? So he said, because you're very wealthy and you learned Torah b'harchove and you don't. The Rashash was a genius, so he picks up learning very quickly. He says, I'm not wealthy and I gave up everything, all of comfort and all of wealth in the world. He learned Torah also atzma arum. He made himself naked from everything, gave everything up. So that's why I had more hatzlacha learning. The Rashash had more hatzlacha learning. But the Netziv said, I had more hatzlacha, because of this Gemara, that's Ma'ar Male. Then the Gemara says there's a third level of interpretation, a third comment, not a third Amar Rabbi Yochanan, end of a term. We said, end of a term, this guy Mamalisha Ma'isatmo or Male. He gives up everything in life. He only concentrates on the learning. Then the Gemara has another comment, end of a term, this guy Mamalisha Ma'isatmo, Kemisha Eino. If a person is going to be arrogant, he will not be successful in learning Torah. Shenema, Ba'achachmo. May ayin timotze. The hatzloch in learning comes if a person makes himself like an ayin, like a nothing, like a nobody. If a person is arrogant, he will not be that successful in learning Torah. The Gemara says in the many disputes between the Mishan and Mesilo, we always pasken, most of the time we pasken like Mesilo. The Gemara says one of the reasons why, because the Mesilo were more humble than the Mishan. It means that one is more humble stands a better chance of being mechaber lamidu shel Torah. A person who holds from himself a little bit will start putting in his ego, start saying his own original ideas. Person is humble, will try to figure out, what is the Torah telling me? He won't be telling the Torah what it's supposed to be saying. So because the first Madama, Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina said, in the end of a term is kaimim, one will only be masvich and learning, but his mam and atzma or malayim, based on that pasuk in Mishlei, so they quote the name of Rabbi Yochanan, similar, end of the term is kaimim, one will only be masliach if he's meis matzma kai. You have Mishnayis, give you the memches dvar matara nikness. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells you all the 48 things we have to be careful about. These are two out of the 48. Okay. There in Israel, they're tumbling a small group of lunatics, tumbling against the government. So what is the Jewish attitude towards government? They have in today's Sedra. Yagi Ravina says, that when he gives the brokers, so he says, he says the government should be controlled by Shevet Yehuda. The Melech should be from the Malchut of David. We believe in government very much. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, having this power, Bishlam Bishal Malchus, Shalmari Meroish Yisrael Chaim Bala. If you don't have any pachat from the government, you can have chaos, you can have anarchy. It's terrible. Eretzal, you have a group of lunatics who are just convinced that their shmiras and mitzvahs is the only correct way, and they're so arrogant they think that they have a right to step on everybody else and do whatever they please, even if the government would be absolute rishoyim. Even if they are absolute rishoyim, the pasuk says that Eliyahu Melech showed covet to Achav. Achav was a rebbe of the Torah. Achav was a melech rosha. The Rambam says you have to show covet to the malchus, even if the melech is a rosha. After the Melech dies, it's a din, you have to show covet.